What is this?
Well, you gotta open and see.
Alright.
You came in yesterday.
Oh, you took it, your mic came on.
Okay.
Be careful, because stuff will spill out.
Be careful, don't hit anything.
Yeah. There's something else in there.
It's for Tracy. It's from Miss Tracy McKay from Frederick, Colorado. Yeah. All of these are from her?
Yeah, one for you, one for another person, and one for another person.
Really?
Your thumb covered up your name.
Wow, no, I'm gonna show them. You see that? Just check that out. Can I put this on the wall?
Anything you want to do with it, Pastor.
All right. And then,
do I need to show Mother Brenda?
Please, and call her up.
Okay. Where's Mother Brenda? Oh, I was looking at the old sharing spot. And this is Mother Brenda's. Please come up. And then, they didn't forget about Pastor Ben.
Amen. Somebody remembered me.
Wow. Somebody thought I was dogging you about the amount of cards you get versus the amount of cards I get. They're like, don't be so selfish, Pastor Sandy. We know you got 200 cards and Pastor Ben got two. Don't be like that. And this is from Sherry Lynn and Garnett. And I forget where they're from. Let me see. Oh, they're from Tennessee. So praise God. Thank you for your card. Godspeed with the dog with the bone in his mouth. That's become our symbol, huh, Pastor
yeah,
Ben? Keep barking. Wait till y'all hear this message. I am a barking dog. It's all I'm going to do till the end. I don't care who says anything. It's bark, 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 double bark. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. All right.
All right, Pastor.
The title of this message today is The Last Step of the Journey. And in prayer, this is what God wanted me to know. This is the last step of your journey. And I really kind of needed to hear that, but I was going to do what God wants me to do anyway. But to know that this is the last step of my journey, and that I need to do it, but I need to do it strong. I need to do it not looking at your face, not caring about how anybody feels. I need to do it with strength. I need to do it regardless whether you think that that hurts your feelings or not. I need to do it. I know Jesus hurt a few feelings when he was.
One or two.
Sometimes you tell the truth and people go, my feelings are so hurt. And Jesus will be like, that's just the way it is. Right? So it's not like I'm trying to be cruel. It's just you're trying to be truthful. Sometimes people get their feelings hurt.
Amen.
But I need to do this not looking at your face. I need to do it as if you're not. You make no weight on the way I say what I have to say, okay? It can't be about you. It has to be about me being obedient, huh?
Amen.
No, you can stay there. It's just usually where I point to. It's just, I could point over there or over there. To hear it like, you talking to me? No, girl, it ain't all. So, this is the last of my journey. And if you haven't been on my journey with me, then you really, it's really kind of hard for you to understand me. Okay? My journey really began January 5th, 1979, which I consider my real birthday.
Yeah.
Because that's the year I was born again.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the year I gave my life to Christ. That's the year that God got on my team, okay? And or I got on God's team, I should say. Well, he was now on my side.
Yeah.
And before, I know he was on my side because my mother got saved before I did, but God was now on my side and he was directing and guiding me and making everything work out so that I become what he wants me to be and not what I wanted to be. So Being saved in 1979 and going through everything that I did, I can say a lot, but I went through a lot to become a real boy, you know what I mean? To become a real Christian, you know what I mean? Because I got born again, you know, acknowledging that God is up there seems to make people think, I'm a Christian. And on the night that I got saved, I really got saved, but it got to the point where as long as I acknowledge that he's up there, that I'm saved. And that's not what God is looking for, you know. God's like, I'm looking for you to have a day-to-day relationship with me, you know, because even demons believe I'm up there.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not a relationship. So to get to the point where I really wanted to have a relationship with God took quite a while, right? Mm-hmm. Because dying to the flesh is a very tough situation to be in, especially when you're on enemy grounds, okay?
Right.
So the being saved and then finally coming into, you know, I got saved January 15, 1979. I had good moments in and I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. I'm going to live in relationship. No longer am I going to live by my emotions or my physical feelings at that day or what I feel like doing. I'm going to weigh everything through God. Okay? If God don't like it, I'm not going to like it. And if you stop sinning, I'll bless you. I wanted to see if that was true. Basically, I wanted to, because I see people and they're like blessed all the time. Just can't stand them. Every time I see them, oh man, the Lord's doing wonderful things now. Became a supervisor, just got a new car. I was like, that guy's always blessed. And I couldn't understand it, how some people seem to never have problems. And me, I'm waiting for the next one. You understand? But I was waiting. We have too much going on in this world for us not to believe in Jesus.
Amen.
We have too much proof in this world for us to not believe in Jesus. God said this book right here, this book, this Bible, is a history book, first of all. Did you know that?
Yes.
And the history is concerning the nation of Israel. We are supposed to on worldly success or failure, depending on how you follow it. Okay? Because you can have success in the world if you follow in the instructions of the book. And you can't make any excuses. God's like, this is what they call X factor, okay? Like, I don't have enough education. X that out, you got this. I'm not tall enough. X that out, you got this. You understand? You got God. I don't feel like I can do that. X that out, you got God. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what God wants you to know. Everything is possible with you in him, because if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. First, he's going to put desires in your heart so that you don't have weird desires. Then he's going to give you those desires so that you can grow him and be the person that he wants you to be and not the person that you want to be. Okay? Yeah. Because he has plans for you to use you, right? But you've got to get to the point where you believe that God is more than the big guy in the sky.
The big guy in the sky.
Who I believe in. Yeah, man, he's cool and all that. Whatever, you know.
Amen.
This is a relationship thing. This is the last step of my journey, because I was trying to explain to Drea Wednesday and Thursday's message and what we were talking about in class, because she had not heard it yet. And I think maybe most of you guys have not heard it yet, so I do want to explain it to you. I'll just pretend like it's me and Drea in the car, okay? So when we talk about the last generation of this world, okay? And we're going to get into that, those scriptures. When we talk about the last generation and the end times and how much time there is before God acts upon this world and that there is a judgment. Now, weird people think that nothing's ever going to happen, life's going to go on, and some of them believe that I'm not even really living in the last days, okay? So those type of people, the Lord said, you can't look at them. Preach what I'm telling you to preach. This is the last step of your journey, okay? So understand this. In the last generation of this time, one thing is that we will see was the rebirth of the nation of Israel, okay? And that happened, okay? The other thing that we need to understand is that God said to Noah in Scripture, before the flood, it will be 120 years, and the flood will begin, okay? And Noah began to build the ark. And at the end of Noah building the ark, he said, Noah, go into the ark. This is you and your family have been righteous in this generation. In what generation? In the generation from the time I told you to build the ark until the time of the destruction, he says, this generation, you have been righteous in this whole generation. Because he wanted Noah to know that I told you it would be 120 years, and now it's time, go into the ark. His generation was over. You understand? Jesus comes into the world, and in his lifetime, he says, they ask him the question, what will it be like at the end? One of his statements were, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? So, as it was in the days of Noah was a 120-year count. And so, as we entered into what we call the L'dor Acharon, the last generation, was God talking about 70 years or was he talking about 120 years? And if he was talking about 120 years, how close are we to the end of that 120 years? Because it appears that God began prophesying about the 120 years in 1900. And it appears that he started documenting everything that's going to happen until the end of time in the book of Psalms. So we're on 119 years of 120 year prophecy, and no one in the world, except for people that are awake and who know Jesus Christ, are thinking about the fact that I'm living in the last days. I'm living in the days that the Lord Jesus Christ is actually going to do what he promised in the scriptures. So as a result, if we don't believe it, we don't live like it. You understand? Because if you think you got 20 years, you live like you got 20 years. You understand? Because I've seen guys in prison. When it's time to go home, you know it's time to go home because you see them packing their bags. They are preparing to leave, right? You see them being kind to everybody because they don't want to add time to their sentence, right? Because they know if they get caught smoking in the wrong area, they could add 3 months. They get in a fight, they could add 4 months. That every little thing you do can add months to your sentence. But when it's time to go home, man, they are some of the sweetest human beings you could ever meet. Good morning, Mr. Armstrong. How are you doing? I was like, who are you? You usually talk to me like, what up, homie? Now today is like, good morning, Mr. Armstrong. But he realizes that he's living in the end times and he's about to go home. So his behavior has changed. People want to get in a fight with him. He's like, God bless you. I'm leaving in 2 weeks, right? Before he getting in more fights than anybody, right? Understand how this is. So now I'm trying to tell you, and let me see if you can be as smart as a convicted criminal. Ooh. Or if they're smarter than you.
Well,
You get ready to go home. Conduct yourself accordingly. Or you could get an added time. Mm-hmm. And added time is 7 years.
7 years.
Okay? And so if you don't want added time, conduct yourself properly, because I know you want to go home, right? Okay. Wow, God, you were good on that one.
That was good.
The Lord told me, like, I'm going to say everything you need to say. You just do this. I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Man, I could talk about the Bible for like 8 hours straight. I wish I had 8 hours, but I don't. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 29. And we're going to talk about this. Now, check this out. Here it is in chapter 29, verse 22. It said, the children who follow you in the Lodur Acharon. I don't want to use English because I love studying in Hebrew because it tells you what it's saying. Okay? It says, the children that follow you in the last generation, the Lodur Acharon, and the foreigners who come from distant land will see the calamity that has fallen on the land and the disease with which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt and sulfur. Nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, Ahmad and Zoboim, which the Lord overthrew in fierce anger. So God is saying, when the last generation is upon the earth and foreigners come to Israel, they're going to look at the land and they're going to say, what happened here? Why is there's nothing growing? It looks like a desert wasteland, as if somebody just blew up the whole place and left it here for dead. And he said, that's what it's going to be like in the Lodur Acharon. Israel was never like this until the time when God said, okay, I'm kicking you out of the land. And then this land became a desert wasteland. Israel, when they moved back to the land, God blessed them to make it an agricultural greatness that it is right now. But when they first moved back, some of them probably said, man, we should have stayed in Europe, because it was a desert wasteland. You understand? God says in the last days, that's what it's going to look like. So in 1948, they were in the last generation, okay? Because in Deuteronomy, God is letting them know this is how the land is going to look when you get back. I'm trying to let you know something, because they're in the midst of the last generation.
Amen.
We'll talk about what generation. Go over to 30, verse 5. In 30, verse 5, which is the 5,708th verse of the Torah, which stands for the year 1948, it says, he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and more numerous than your fathers. So God's saying in 1948, I'm going to bring you back to your land. When? In the Lodur HaAcharon, in the last generation, this is going to happen. Okay? Now, let's go to Psalms chapter 48. God is good. Psalms chapter 48. Now listen. We read on Wednesday and Thursday that when the apostles asked Jesus Christ, when will this be? And when will the end of the time? And when will the end of time be? Jesus Christ began to start telling them about things that were going to happen in the 1900s. He says there'll be nations there'll be wars and rumors of war. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Earthquakes, pestilence, famines will be prevalent at this time. Okay? In the early 1900s was the San Francisco earthquake, the Black Plague, the flu virus, or the swine flu virus. And it wasn't killing like 1,000 people. We're talking about 500,000 Americans died of swine flu in 1913, 1914. Okay? So Christ began to immediately tell them, this is how it's going to be. Now, after the 1913, 1914, in 1914, they had the World War. And now, all of a sudden, nation has risen against nation, kingdoms have risen against kingdom, and the whole world is at war. You understand? So Christ began to tell them about something that's going to go on in the 1900s. So even Jesus, soon as he's asked, throws him right into the 1900s. And so when we get to the book of Psalms, and the book of Psalms begins to prophesy year by year events of what's going to happen in the 1900s, as we, okay, if you're in Psalms 48, okay, now, if you're in Psalms 48, I'm just going to mention this. In Psalms 49, it says this in verse, 47, in verse 9, it says this: the nobles of the nations as the people of the God of Abraham. Because in 8, it says, God resides over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. So the Bible is telling you something's going to happen. This is the 19th book of the Bible, Psalms. Something's going to happen in the year 47. What's going to happen? All the nobles of the world are going to meet and decide something concerning the people of Abraham. And they met at the UN. So guys, like, how would God know that this is going to happen when Psalms is written 3,500 years before the event? But they met, right? Now, soon as they meet, what do they meet about? Giving the land to Israel back to the Jews. And they decided, we're going to do it, okay? Now, that's a miracle within itself if you know the big tussle that was going on between nations, right? But they won the vote, and Israel got a promissory that they're going to get the land. The next year, this is what happened. In Psalms 48, it says, great is the Lord, most worthy of praise in the city of our God. His holy mountain, it is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon, is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced toward her, they saw her and were astonished. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there like the pain of a woman in labor. So they move back into the land, and God is going to tell you what happens. What's going to happen? All these nations are going to assemble and attack them, and to try to drive them out of the land. And they're the ones that ended up asking for a ceasefire and running from Israel, who had just become a nation and had only a guerrilla type army. You understand? So, but they ended up running from Israel in terror. Five nations. Russia was supplying them with weapons, but Israel won. So now you got two miracles back to back. And Jesus says, it's going to happen in the Ledur HaAcharon. It's going to happen in the last generation, okay? So now, Jesus is prophesying things that are going to happen. They're happening in the 1900s. 19 years later, as predicted in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, that 19 years later, after they get Israel, they would get Jerusalem. It happened exactly 19 years. Okay. I don't understand human beings, because once you've proven yourself to me once or twice, I begin to believe you, okay? And these are not small things. These are miracles, okay? Human nature, though, okay? Now, how long has this generation been? How long is the generation? The generation that we're living in is the generation just like the days of Noah. It is the counting of the 120-year generation. Psalms documents it for you from 1 all the way to 119 years, which is 2019. 2020, Psalms begins a whole new book called the Psalms of Ascent. And now there you have it, a whole new book. And God decides to call this brand new psalm, Psalms 120, the Psalm of Ascent. What does ascent mean? Going up, right? So you have a 120-year count, and then all of a sudden he says, now let the 120th psalm be the Psalm of Ascent, and let's let the narrative of Psalms 120 be Israel crying out in desperation as if they're now beginning to have trouble. So let's go to Psalms 120. God is doing this. Now, this is a, how do you say when your parents warn you? They like, I'm warning you. When I get home, you better be home.
Yep.
Is that, what do you call that?
That's
a what? That's a forewarning, right? My mother sees this, I'm giving you a butt whipping warning. Yep. All right? Because if you're not, you're getting a butt whipping.
Yep.
All right? When I get home, you better be home.
Yep.
All right? God is doing this for us. This is awesome. Because if you don't know you're going to get out of jail, you might act weird. But if you know you're about to get out, now you're like, hey, thanks for letting me know. Now I know how to conduct myself, right? So God is giving you a warning here to let you know what time, what days you're living in so that you can be warned, okay? So you can straighten out your behavior, okay? If you're excited, maybe you like, you know, some people get institutionalized. You know what I mean? If you institutionalize, there's nothing I can do for you. I can tell you, you're going home, you're still going to act the same way.
Yeah.
Okay? So here in Psalms 120, wow, there's so much to talk upon this. We're going to go past 119, and we're going to get to 120. And it says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with warriors' sharp arrows and burning coals of broom trees. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. And dwelling in Meshech is like I'm living in drowning waters. Okay. So they're like, woe to us, God. We are drowning in this water of trouble, okay? So in 2020, it appears that the Jews are crying out to God to save us from this onslaught of trouble, right? Now, we know how the tribulation should go, right? How should it go? 3.5 years into that, there should be another war.
Yeah.
And a flood of water goes out against the nation of Israel. So let's read Psalms 124. Are you there?
Yes.
It says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept swept us away. So they're saying a flood of water has been released against the nation of Israel. Where does it say that ever? In the book of Revelation, it says Satan attacked them like a flood. In the book of Daniel, it said in the middle of the tribulation, Satan will attack them like a flood. So Psalms 120 to Psalms 127 is reading just like the tribulation. In fact, in Psalms 26, it says, I will return with my sheaves. What are sheaves? The wheat, the harvest that he took with him in the rapture. He says, I'm coming back. And it says, with my sheaves. That's in Psalms 126. So Jesus, the whole scenario of the next 7 years is, this is how the tribulation is going. In Psalms 22, they're celebrating that they can say, let's go to the house of the Lord. There's no temple there. When is Israel going to say, let us go to the house of the Lord? When it's rebuilt. And so God is measuring it out for you, letting you know this is the time. You're in this days of Noah, okay? You're in the days of Noah. Now, we're going to do this, and then we're going to get to the real message. No, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And listen what it says. It says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. What generation was it? It was the end of the 120 years. Because he's telling him to go into the ark. You are the righteous generation. You are that generation. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, let's go there. I want to show you guys something. And then we're going to talk about why everybody has had a rapture prediction. We don't know what a generation is. Right. And God's like, and you won't, because the generation starts when I say it does and it ends when I say it does. You in Genesis chapter 15? Okay, let's go to verse 16. He says, however, you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites have not yet reached the full measure. So he's talking to Abraham. The people of Abraham are going to go into Egypt, right? They're going to be punished for how many years? 400 years. He says at the end of the fourth generation, you're going to come back here. Is 100 years a generation?
No, I didn't think so.
I thought 70 years was a generation. Here, God is saying at the end of the fourth generation, that the end of, because they're going for 400 years. He said at the end of the fourth generation, your people are going to come back here. So at the end of the 100 years, that 400 years, they came back to the land, and God was promising them, if you read this, now here's the land of the Amorites and the Girgashites. This is Canaan, okay? I'm giving you back this land. Then the people went back to that land, and they were able to possess the land because God told them, I'm going to give this land to you, okay? So at the end of 100 years, it was a generation. Now the Jews and a Hebrew guy at a synagogue told me, after 1917, it's going to be a kaf generation. Kaf is the letter in Hebrew that has a numerical value of 100. They call it a kaf generation, 100 years. He said in 1917, we gained back Jerusalem through General Allenby. He said it's going to happen again in the kaf generation, which he was saying in 2017, we're going to win back Jerusalem again. We're going to win back Jerusalem again in 100 years. Now, did they have to win back Jerusalem in 100 years? No, but God had to fulfill the prophecy. Right. So Donald Trump announced to the world that Jerusalem belongs to Israel. You saw that happen and didn't even know prophecy happened. And so that 100 years was fulfilled. This is a cough generation, 100 years. So 100 years can be a generation. Thank you, Pastor Ben. So 100 years can be a generation. Let's go to Numbers chapter 32. I got y'all in Bible study. I'm sorry. You're like, I came to hear preaching. I didn't come to y'all in this Bible study. Verse 32. Listen what the... Now, okay, we talked about this on Wednesday. There's this guy that wrote this book, right? Sold a whole bunch of copies, made a lot of money. He was considered a prophecy genius at the time. Like I was in 2010. People was contacting me going, you're a prophecy genius. And I was like, hold off. Let's wait till the rapture happens, all right? But no, they had already declared me. Well, in 1988, before 1988, there was a book called 88 Reasons for 88. And it was based on the premise that 40 years is a generation. So since Israel came back in 1948, 1988, the world was ending. Mm-hmm. And that, because that was 40 years, right? Sold a lot of copies, did well, right? Where did he get that idea? Here it is. Numbers chapter 32, verse 13. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight were gone. So God declared that 40 years was a generation. Yes. So is 70 years a generation, is 100 years a generation, or is 40 years a generation?
They're all a generation.
Is when God determines, this is when the count starts.
Right.
Okay? Did we read Exodus chapter 7, verse 1?
Yes.
Okay. So that was a... okay. So now, here we are. Let's go here. That is something else. I'm going to look at this so I can make sure I get the right thing here. Okay. Okay. So let's move on. So now, like the guy in 88, we said, hey, Israel's rebirthed in 1948. They came back into the land. Psalms 48 says, when you see this happen, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. The same words he uses in Deuteronomy. When you see the nation of Israel rebirth, he said, go and tell this to the Lador HaAcharon. Okay, so now he's saying this is the last generation. But are you on the 48th year of the last generation, or are you on the year one of the last generation? The Bible clearly is showing us that since we're the generation of Noah, we were only on the 48th year of the last generation that began in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, we were only on the 48th year. Okay. Of the 120 year count. Now we're at the 119th year of the 120th count. So the Lord is speaking warning to the world, right? Listen, I've measured it out generation by generation, and I'm the one who marks when it begins and when it ends, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I want to read this with you right now. If we read in Matthew chapter 23, he would have told them, you know what? This temple is going to be destroyed in this generation. And the temple got destroyed in 70 AD. Why did he say that? Jesus Christ was born at the beginning of that generation. And a time of a man is 70 years or 80 if he has strength, whatever. But in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. So what Christ prophesied about happened. Now, there's a saying that if you don't learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
Okay? When you see something happen, and then you have evidence on that wall that it did happen, and then you know that God prophesied it before it happened, when do you begin to believe God? Okay? Let's continue. You're in Matthew chapter 24. Okay, you're in verse 32. Now learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things happen, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened. All what things? Everything that he talked about in Matthew chapter 24. But in Matthew chapter 24, he also talks about his return to the earth, and that's 7 years away. So, what happened in 2007 that would put Israel on a different clock than us? Do you guys know? Israel did something in 1907 that God was not pleased with. And this is what they did. Here, let me read this. I'm going back to my J.R. Church book. This is what Israel did. It says, in the Psalms, it says, foolish Jews, Jewish souls, assured of God's judgment upon the persecutors. Some of those plotted against the Khazars in 1907. So what the Jews did was they teamed up with the Russians because they thought that the Russians would give them security if they fought against the Khazars and fought with the Russians, that the Russians would somehow protect them, right? So in 1907, they're fighting, they've teamed up with them, they're fighting with the Russians, and then when they've ended up helping the Russians win the protest against Khazars, at the end of that, the Russians turned on them and began to destroy them. And God was like angry with who? Russia. Who's going to attack Israel at the end of the 7 years? Every nation, including Gog and Magog, Russia, right? So God has made a promise that this whole thing is going to come full circle. Now listen what it says in 107. God judged the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will wet his. If he turn not, he will wet his sword. He has bent his bow, and made it ready. He hath prepared for him the instrument of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. He says that concerning Russia. He says if Russia doesn't turn around because of what they had done to the Jews in 1907, he said, when I come, I'm going to wet my sword, I'm going to bend my arrow, and I'm going to revenge them of what they've done to you on this day. But God was also angry with the Jews for teaming up with the Russians to try and say, oh, they're good people and they'll protect us. Is Israel ever going to do that again?
No.
They're going to do it in tribulation. Ha. At the beginning of the tribulation, what is Israel going to do? They're going to make friends with the Antichrist, right? They're going to say he's going to protect us and he's going to do this for us, right? And God said, no, you should not be teaming with him. He's not your Messiah, right? At the end of 7 years, God is going to come back and wet his sword and attack them and destroy them for the nation of Israel. So listen. The generation that we're in is the same generation that Noah is in. Why do you say that, Pastor Sandy? Because Jesus said it. It's going to be just as it was in the days of Noah. Noah's generation was in a 120-year count. This last generation, you've been in a 120-year count. And therefore, in 2020, you're in flood season. In 2020, you're at the end of a 120-year count. And now, for someone to be able to say that, you would have to go back to the 1900s and document that God is actually counting this 120 years. And God provided it that you can do this. Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I've said this, and I'm going to say it again. This right here, this book, is a history book. It is a history of the nation of Israel, of everything that they're going to go through, and you have in this book the death of Hitler and his 10 henchmen in the book of Esther. You have in this book. And not just that, you have the exact year that is going to happen in this book. So this is a history book prophesying to you everything so that when these things happen, God can say, see, I told you I wrote that 4,000 years ago. Or I wrote that 3,000 years ago. Everything that I said has happened. Oh, by the way, I also wrote that one of these days you're going to be walking around and you're going to hear a trumpet and you're going to be taken up. I also wrote that, okay? And he said it's going to happen in the Lodor HaAcharon. It's going to happen in the last generation. You've been in the last generation for quite some time, and the world should have known it because nations rose against nations and kingdoms rose against kingdoms, and there was a world war in 1914 that just happened to happen on what? The 9th of Av, the same day that both temples was destroyed, World War I begins. How did Jesus do that? Okay? So you know that God is real. That's not the question. What's the question here? Can you have enough intelligence and understanding that now I need to live for this God who has prophesied all these things? Can I make him number one in my life? Because I'm telling you, if you're not blessed, it's because you put Jesus second. It's like whenever something Jesus going on, I got something to do. Whenever something then you want to do, you there and you on time, right? But when it comes to Jesus, he's second in your life. So then you receive seconds. Second, 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 second. Oh, when am I going to get blessed? Second, second. Yep. Soon as you put me one, I'll put you one.
Right.
Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you what? The desires of your heart.
Yes.
You can't. He's already proven to you that he's God. He's already proven to you that you're living in the last generation. He's already proven to you that there is two places that people go when they leave here.
Yeah.
Heaven or hell. We've got enough testimonies of hell and heaven to last for quite a long time. You could watch them all day, right? So the proof is here. But the heart has to be submitted to God. If you have to be disciplined, you would do it if it's something you wanted.
Yes.
If you don't discipline yourself, it's a 100% proof that you didn't want that because you didn't discipline yourself enough to get it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So you can discipline yourself. Put God first. Try it out. Do what I did. I just thought I'd give it a try. Other people was blessed. I just wasn't. Let me see if I give it a try. I got an RX-7 that's barely working. Drea was with me. You know what I mean? I helped us both get to work at the time. Teams wasn't really going that well. But I got this new cute chick in my life. And Lord, I'm going to be good. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to do it right. We're going to live for you. And God's like, okay, do that. And then I'm going to show you what I can do. You understand? It's the decision to actually live for him.
Yes.
To put him first. Not to put him second. You put things up. I just wish that you could be in a relationship that you are really in love. Because God is so in love with you. You know, he's so in love with you. I wish you could be in a relationship that you are so in love and the person puts you second behind everything that matters to him except you.
Yep.
And then just watch you cry and then go, the way he treats me, he just puts me second all the time. You just go to here and I'm here, I want to go on a date. He just like, I've got to do other things with my boys. And you guys, well, okay, now you know how Jesus feels.
Yep.
Because he's so in love. Oh, we going to spend time today? No. I got other things to do. What about today? I really love you. Not today.
So
I got other things to do, right? You, since it, maybe you haven't been in the situation, but if you're in that situation, it hurts your feelings to have somebody that you're so madly in love with constantly put you second.
You first after everything else.
Yeah, you first after everything else. I'm challenging you, okay? Because I don't know when the rapture is, okay? I know when the last generation is, and I know we're here, and I know Psalms has documented it. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm telling you, you're booked to go home.
Yes.
You're in going home season. You understand?
Yes.
Act accordingly. Unless you need added time. If you need added time, if you feel like added time don't bother you, be you. That's what I tell them, dude. You know you're going home. What you tripping off of? What you tripping off of? You know you're going home. What you tripping off of? Huh? Act right. Get out of here, and then you can have your life. Okay? Same thing the Lord's saying. Act right. You know you're going home. Do right, so when it's time to go, it's time to go. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm done.
Pray for your members.
Yes. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me as we pray over our international membership all over the world. Father God, I got a message from Africa last night. Father God, I just want that sister to know that I will answer her question today. She sent me an email concerning some things. And Father God, and all the people that are all over the world, Father God, that are following the message, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that they be warned, Father God. We pray that they warn other people, Father God. Father God, to just live for you, Father God, because you are the author of life. You have given us all life, Father God, and your desire is to give us even a greater life than this world, Father God. And Father God, we just pray that you would give us a heart to desire that as well, Father, for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.